Ephesians chapter 5. Lynn, I think it's warm now, man. Turned it down. Just so everybody knows, we had a little dilemma this morning. We had no heat in here. It's 40 degrees at 6:30. We had an emergency gas run, and so when you came in, that's why it was a little chilly, but now it's a little hot. So just be thankful if you ever see Jason Thompson or if you have his number, text him and say, thank you, sir, for filling an emergency gas run of propane because the new technology advancements that they have today froze up. Beautiful blessing that it was. So open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 for part 2 of this series on marriage. And before we get into that, I just have to say, I didn't get to say anything after service last weekend, but how cool was it to have 3 baptisms last Sunday? We had Liam, Colton. Colton's still good. I'm actually on baptism probation after that. The head's all right, and then Brianna as well. So 3 baptisms, that was awesome. So we started this series last week on Valentine's Day on marriage. And just raise your hand if you have the perfect marriage. All right. Where's the anointing oil? Bring them to the altar. We need to straighten that out. But here's the thing. Let's read Ephesians 5, and I want to talk about this again. And here's what we did last week. Last week, we defined what marriage was and what it wasn't according to God's Word. And like I told you last week, I am not here to give you my opinions or my preferences in marriage. I am here to just simply preach you God's Word on this topic. The reason it is very important is because many of us have been married, will marry, maybe remarried, or we have felt the effects of it. Or, as I mentioned last week, our widows and widowers would love for one more day to be married and to have that person back for just a little while longer. This is a very, very serious subject. This is a very, very personal topic, marriage. It's very important to people because a lot of people marry. But at the same time, the reality is that in all marriages, the divorce rate is 52%. So that tells us that it is very, very important to us. But sometimes we need just a little bit of help navigating this thing together. So as I mentioned last week, and I'll do it again, if you are in a marriage right now, and there is no abuse of any sort, you are to consider that marriage a gift. You are to consider that marriage a gift. If you are here and you are going to remarry or you are going to marry for the first time, you need to value that person and look at that upcoming marriage as a gift from God. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 again is where we're going to start. And this is what Paul writes. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands, and husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So last week we defined what marriage was, what it wasn't. What does God say about it? This week we are going to look at how to navigate this holy, covenantal, complementary companionship between a husband and a wife, and how there are two that are supposed to become how many? One. That's what the Bible says, that the two shall become one. This is the only relationship that we see in the Scriptures where two people shall actually become 1. And now we get to discuss how to navigate this. And here's what I want to do today. I wanted to discuss how to navigate it by the roles, the two become one and under the Lord's supremacy in all things. And if we have time, I think we will, we're going to get to where the very reason why some marriages may become stagnant or simply fail. And we want to work. Here's my prayer for all of us. To anyone that ever gets married, I want you to flourish. I want you to be fruitful and enjoy the life and the love and the marriage that you have. That is my prayer for every single one here that is married, that you would grow to love one another in such a way and desire one another in such a way and grow in the many blessings that God has for you. And here we go with the rose. And this is where we start. I'm going to start with the husbands. Husbands, you husbands who are here today, here is your command by God to love your wives as Christ loved the church. You are to love your wife, you are to lead your wife, and you are to love them. And here are four aspects of this love that I want to just mention for a moment. That the love that you and I are to have for our wives is to be realistic. We must have a realistic love, knowing exactly who our wife is and not having some kind of fantasy of what she should become or how she should act or how she should cook or how she should clean or how she should respect, how she should... No. Grow to be realistic in the home and grow to know who your wife is. Love them where they are. Know that they are human. Here's the thing. If you are married, I want you to look at your spouse, or if you're engaged or if you're dating, I want you to look at one another and know that that person that you're looking at is imperfect. Imperfect. Not perfect. You don't have to remind them. All right. You don't have to say amen to that. You can just know that they are imperfect. They're just imperfect. I mean, every single one of us have our own flaws. So we have to know, as husbands, we have to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And that love has to be realistic. Jesus knows that His church is made up of all of these imperfect people that He has cleansed, that He has washed, that He has renewed by Him. That none of us are perfect. None of us will ever live to His standard or to His glory. And He is realistic enough to die on the cross for us because He is realistic enough to know that we in and of ourselves are not Him. And the same is for us as husbands. We must be realistic in the way that we love our spouse. We can't live in a fantasy expecting things to go according to it. We must love realistically. We must love sacrificially. We must be willing to die for our wives. You must be willing to die for our wives. The third thing is that we must love. The love must be purposeful. Meaning that when you love your wife, you are to point them to the Lord. You are to love them and point them to the Lord. And you're also to love them and guide them and lead them so that they walk in the Lord. So you have a purpose, husbands. You have a purpose to prepare your wife for the moment that they stand before the Lord and give an account to all that they have. You are to lead them and to love them in a way that you point them to Jesus. It is my responsibility to love my wife, to point her to Jesus. It's also my responsibility to love her and to lead her in such a way that she grows in the Lord. And it's under my authority, it's under my leadership that she will flourish and that she will prosper in the Lord, or that she may plunder if I'm not leading her and loving her very purposefully. And the last one is that we must love our wives personally. This love must be very personal. We see Paul talks about loving our own bodies. And here's the thing that you and I, we shower, husbands, hopefully. Not during deer season, of course. But excluding deer season, we all shower. We brush our teeth. We may fix our hair or may, you know, wax the top. I don't know what you do. You may trim the beard. But you get ready to go. Every man, every husband wants to look, you know, like the husband or the man, and they want to take care of themselves, right? And here's the thing. If you are to love your wife as Christ loved the church and to lead your wife and to love your wife as God expects of you and of me, then we must be very intentional. Because we take care of ourselves daily. Maybe go to the gym, maybe brush our teeth, get ready to go to work. We take care of ourselves daily. Therefore, we must be intentional to take time daily to cultivate a happy home. We must be intentional and we must love personally. We must love realistically, sacrificially, and purposefully in order to cultivate a home in which the Lord is worshipped, in which children grow to know the Lord, in which happiness and all these things that you'll experience when you're around each other. Yeah, that's all good. But until we, as husbands, love as Christ loved the church, then we must not expect to live in the blessings. If we choose to love how we want or what they can do for us, then there is no way we will ever become one, and we cannot expect our homes to look as God has ordained them and established them to look if we do not first love as God loves us. The second thing is we have to address the role of the wives. Can somebody go get Michaela? She went downstairs today. And I don't know if it's for reason, but the words that Paul says is wives are to what? To submit to their own husbands. Now, this topic, these words, if we take them wrong, can be very controversial or like we're trying to attack one another. This is how God has established the home and the family, that the husband is to lead and to love, and that the wife is to submit. Now, here's what maybe a better understanding of this word submit. So when I was in the Marine Corps, I was over about 30 junior Marines, what they're called. There were E1s, E2s, E3s, and I was considered the non-commissioned officer in charge, where I was over these Marines. So if they did something silly, guess who got to hear about it? I did. If they did something good, guess who got to hear? I did. So I was in charge of them to make sure they stayed in weight, to make sure they had certain scores on their physical fitness, to make sure their uniforms looked good. So here I am. But here's the thing. Even though I was in charge, I was still to submit to higher authority that were appointed above me. So here's what I want you to know. If you have a problem with, well, I don't want to submit. Why am I supposed to submit? I'm not telling you that Paul is alluding to wives being second-class citizens, or that they are objects to be treated poorly. And the word submit is that you are to be under the authority of a husband that is first under the authority of the Lord. And if you have a dilemma, or if you don't like that word, you just take it up with God, not me. He's the one that inspired it. Paul's the one that wrote it. When you get to heaven, you can call Paul up and say, hey, this is poor wording. You know, it's 2021. We don't do... No. This is the way that God established it in the beginning, and this is how God expects it to operate today. That wives are to be submissive to their husbands. However, if your husband's leadership leads you to sin, there is no means to submit. If your husband's leadership causes you to live in disobedience to God, there is no means to submit. The way that God has established the unit is that the husband would lead in a godly, Christ-like way. The wife would step beside him and submit to his authority. But here's the other thing. Even though husbands are the authority or the head of the home, wives have many leadership roles in the home. Can I get an amen? I will work hard and I will go to work all day and I will do all that I have to do. I can't stay in the same house with my kids all day. I just can't. So I love them. I really do love them. But my wife is just wired differently. So even though she's under my authority, she has many leadership roles. And one of those being very, very heavy in what it is the daily well-being of my three girls. I mean, she is to be leading the daily well-being of my three girls. That is her leadership role. Here's another one. I go to work. Michaela stays home with our girls. Many of you probably know that. And I love my wife, and she's so much better than I am. But when it comes to finances, I work hard. I kind of work hard. I provide for them monetarily. But when it comes to finances, when they leave my pocket, guess who's in charge of that? Not so much me. Here's why. Because if I were in charge of every expense or every dollar to be spent, it would all be gone the day that I get it. I mean, I am like a little kid when they take the $5 to the store. I as soon as I get the money, I see the clothes, I see the shoes, I see the new truck. Oh, well, my truck doesn't have that tailgate. I need to go, I need to do all of these things. I don't have that shirt. I need this. And my pocket will burn so fast. So my wife, being very much wiser than I am, she doesn't dictate, you know, she doesn't cut my own card up and tell me you have this much to spend. But we come together and she has a very, very big role in the way that our finances go out of our own pockets. And even though she's under my authority, she has many, many leadership roles in the home. And that's the way that it is supposed to work. Even though I was submissive to many people higher ranking than me, I had many leadership roles where I was. And that is the same with wives today. That we are to be, as husbands, the leader and the lover of the home. But we are to also know that our wives, just because the word there is submit, we have to also evaluate. We might love the phrase, wives, submit to your own husbands, but we have to ask ourselves, are we giving them anything to submit to? I mean, are we loving them as Christ loved the church? Are we leading them in a godly manner? Are we loving our kids? Are we loving our spouse? And are we loving and leading them in such a way that they are pointed to the Lord? Because it is my responsibility as the leader and the spiritual leader of my home to ensure that my kids see Jesus. It's my responsibility. It's on my shoulders to ensure that my girls grow up to know who Jesus is. They grow into a personal relationship with them, with Him themselves. And it is my responsibility as the husband and as the father to ensure that my girls grow in the Lord. My wife does a huge part of it. And I'm not trying to take any of her credit because she does a marvelous job. But it is my responsibility. If I am not loving and leading as God has called me to, then it will struggle. And it will not live to the expectation. And next we have to discuss how the two become one. When I went to my very first premarital counseling session with Michaela, my former pastor, he said the number one thing in your marriage, other than Christ, is going to be a word called communication. Communication. He says you two must communicate and be able to communicate in all things in order for this to prosper. So in order for us to truly become one, we must live in constant communication. And I'm talking about our finances, I'm talking about our career paths, I'm talking about where our battles are, what we're struggling with, I'm talking everything. We must be in constant communication with one another, and we must live with a sacrificial selflessness, because here's what happens. If two supreme personalities, if two alphas come together and they try to love to overpower the other or expect more from the other, the two will always remain two. We will never become one if we can't talk about everything and anything, and if we can't humble ourselves enough to know that this is no longer just about me, it is about us, it is about we. We are now a union under the Lord's authority. Therefore, it is about what I bring to it, it's about what she brings to it, and if I am expecting her to just love me and to nurture me and to tend to all of my needs, and I do not repay the favor to her and humble myself and be selfless in the way that I love her, we will never become one. Never. So if we're not living in constant communication, if we're not living with a sacrificial selflessness in our own hearts, then we will can never expect the two of us to become one. So if you're here today and you feel like your marriage is what they can do for you, then I'm telling you, you need to humble yourself and love the gift of your husband or your wife that God has given to you. Love them. Humble yourself and know. So there's this phrase that I'll say in marital counseling, premarital counseling, or in weddings that I do. It is the phrase to complete your cross. You know, whenever we look at a cross, it's two beams, a vertical beam, horizontal beam. And I talk about that being two relationships in and of ourselves. The vertical beam being the vertical relationship that we have with the Lord, that He established Himself 2,000 years ago for us. And the horizontal beam is that relationship between us and our spouse. And it's only completed by one way, by choosing to complete it. We must choose daily to communicate with one another about everything. We must choose daily to sacrifice of ourselves for the other. We must choose daily to be humble, to be gentle, to be loving, to be patient, to be kind. We must choose daily to love one another in such a way that we are leading, we are submitting, we are nurturing. And ultimately, we are focused on the two of us becoming one. Two of us becoming one. And the two becoming one, there's an aspect. This is when preaching gets really awkward and really difficult. About a physical intimacy that is to be experienced by a husband and a wife. A term that we all know, and it might sound like a cuss word, and it's a word known as sex. This is a topic, this is a gift given to husbands and wives from God. That is the parameters for this topic. That is the parameters for this gift. That one husband and one wife receive this gift. There is no permission anywhere for it to be used outside of those parameters. Husband, wife. And if we choose to live outside of those parameters between a husband and a wife, we are living against the way of the Lord. Therefore, we must repent and we must ask Him to forgive us. There is also no permission for that parameter to be entered by anyone or anything else. It is husband, it is wife, it is the gift of physical intimacy that God gives to us in our holy unions together. That's it. So we are here and we are given this gift of physical intimacy between ourselves and marriage. And I want you to know that that is the definition, that is the parameters for who participates. That's it. It is between our husbands and our wives, just as God, and any kind of outside of His word, outside of His way, it's just sin. We just got to humble ourselves. We've got to repent. We've got to lean on Him, and we have to move forward. And going along with that, maybe it's so difficult to talk about because it's such a serious subject, serious to us, but also serious to God. And it's also maybe difficult because it's a topic that's sometimes poorly interpreted or wrongfully handled by us humans. Therefore, we find it a very difficult way to talk about to our kids or together or in teaching of the gift. We handle it poorly. And one of the ways we handle it poorly is because, and this will transition us into maybe why marriages become stagnant or why they may fail. Is because we take this holy covenantal relationship, this union that we are to have, and if we aren't careful, we will make it too common. We'll make it too common. What did we talk about in Sunday school today that we just kind of neglect or forget the many blessings that we have, one of them being our spouse or our children or the sunshine? Because it's just daily. It's there all the time. What happens is we make this holy union in marriage and the things that come with marriage, and we will just make it very common. And maybe we have, as a society, as a culture, devalued the holy matrimony between husband and wife. And if we aren't careful, we will make marriage. And what happens is some people will tend to do married things before they're married, which makes it common. So when something is too common or becomes more and more common to you, it's just easier to dispose of. It's just easier to dispose. So here's my prayer. That every single person that is in this place that is married right now, that you would grow in the Lord and you would enjoy the blessings of the marriage that God intends for you. If you are not married, and you're going to be married, maybe one day, maybe you're a teenager and you're years away, I want you to know that marriage is a very serious subject, but it is also a beautiful gift that God gives. And I want you to take it serious, and I want you to hold the value that God has established with it, to not make it too common so that things become less and less valuable to where we can just dispose easier and easier of it. That we are to become one. That we are also to complete our cross. And this is what I want to finish with. This is the very same reason that marriages prosper is the very same reason marriages plunder. Same reason. It's all rooted in one thing. Your choice and mine. We choose to submit, we choose to surrender, we choose to sacrifice, we choose to humble ourselves, we choose to serve one another, we choose to love, we choose to give, we choose to do those things. Or we choose to neglect. Or we choose to betray. Or we choose to push down. Or we choose to disrespect. I mean, it's all rooted in the very same thing. We will either kindle the fire and we'll continue working on ourselves and adding to and presenting the best of ourselves to one another, or we will just bring each other down. It's all in what we choose to do. It's all in what we choose to do. And this is where I want you to know this. Whether you are married, whether you're single, whether you're divorced, or whether you're widowed, I want you to know this. Every single one of us must choose to surrender and commit ourselves to the Lord. Before we can grow in marriage, all of us, whether we're married, whether we're single, whether we're widowed, whether we're dating, we're all under one choice, to choose Jesus as Lord or not. Whether we're married, whether we're divorced, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how your relationship's going. It doesn't matter what you've been able to enjoy. I'm telling you that all of us, are all on the same level when it comes to this, that we must all choose to surrender to Jesus as Lord, or we don't. Amen. All of us. Then what happens when we choose to do that? We are able to love one another greater. Our marriages flourish and they're prosperous. Or if we choose not to surrender to Him, if we choose not to humble ourselves to Him, then we might just choose for things to plunder. The choice is yours. For all of us. The question is, are we committing ourselves to Jesus as Lord? And I'm speaking to every single person that's here with ears on the side of their head. The question is up to you. The choice is up to you. You can humble yourself and call upon His holy name and live in the many blessings that He has for you. Or you can choose not to. But here's what I will say. Do not expect God to bless anything that you do not humble and offer to Him. And if your marriage is something that you value, I am asking you and I am pleading with you to offer it to Him and humble yourselves together under His authority, under Him as supreme, and see just what God is able to do with you. If you're here today and you have not committed yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, as the payment of your sin, I am asking you, I am pleading with you, if you value the days ahead, if you value your eternity, to please choose Jesus. It's that simple. Just choose Jesus. Just surrender yourself to Him. Just call upon His holy name to walk in step with His word, with His ways, and be in tune with His Spirit. And I'm telling you that the days ahead will prosper. What is the old saying? Happily ever after. That's the old saying around marriage. Happily ever after. That's my prayer for all of us. Not just in our marriage, but in our own hearts. That we will one day see Him, live with Him, so we can live happily ever after. The choice is yours. It's yours. The choice is yours. Let's pray.